Hi guys, welcome to the Dark Merdeka podcast, Merdeka edition. So today I have a very, very special guest. I actually grew up watching her, went to the same school as her, and I just am so proud to see where she is right now. So I want to introduce you guys to YB Nurul Izzah.
Hi.
So thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me. You know, you made time and I was really happy because I think in a way, even though we went to the same school, we also crossed paths, right?
Yeah, along our career.
Yes, yes. And you were also giving me space to even present what I did as a political activist back in the early days. So my first term. So thank you.
Already from a young age, you were exposed to the public life, whether you liked it or not, whether you chose it or not. And, you know, your dad being in politics, and then your dad being in prison, and now your dad being prime minister. That's like such an extreme that you went through as a daughter. And that's just as a daughter. And then, so I just want to ask you, like, as a leader, right, growing up with the predicament that you had to face, do you think that that kind of forced you to emerge as a leader, whether you liked it or not?
You know, it's so hard to speak about our own sets of challenges when we are seeing what's happening in Gaza, right? You write about it, you speak about it. I just feel so small. In a sense, we are so blessed. We have been given so much opportunity, not just through the easy or cruising times, right? But also the challenges, because it helps you to learn. And there's no way for our eyes to be open. For example, if I didn't manage to see the different social backgrounds of the people that we interacted with, whether it was through the visits to prison, whether it's through the court system, understanding not everyone would have had the chance or the access to legal aid and so on and so forth. So it's been eye-opening. I don't know if I was a natural leader. I think
you are.
No, of course not. I mean,
I was quite now.
I was quite an introvert. I was quite an introvert. Yeah. It was very difficult to kind of start speaking in public. But I think the Sheikh Yusuf Qardawi, Allah Yarham, he wrote his book. It's called Fiqh Jihad. So that was kind of the first book I had to read, because suddenly, you know, Reformasi took place and it was very shocking. But I feel that the reminder is, you know, for Muslims, there's Fardu Ain, there's Fardu Kifaya. So in a way, for me, Islam helped me see sometimes you just got to do what you got to do. Like, there's a set of responsibilities, and there's a set of, when the calling comes, as you say, just do the right thing.
When the calling comes.
Wow. Well, you just do the right thing. Yeah. I think that's why I think it simplifies a lot of
the challenges.
Life's challenges. I mean, I feel so, like, you know, even humbled having to say that, because we know, right? We know what's happening in the world today. But of course, alhamdulillah.
You mentioned in one of the interviews, I love that quote. You said, "It's always bigger than me."
Oh yeah,
so
for sure.
There's challenges, you're like, "It's not about me. Like, it's always bigger than me."
Yeah, because I'm sure you know this, right? In showbiz and in fashion, how do you escape the trappings of the glamour, right?
The glamour, the fame, the
status. Fame, and it's a lot of hard work. It's a lot of set of difficulties. So for me, it's always how do you make sure that your mission is aligned with your actions. So memang peringatan yang penting lah, because we are all doing things that should matter, but not in terms of how we look or how we, of course, in a sense, you want to look your best and you hope to present the best, but it is dependent on that value system, right? Yeah. On the principles you kind of
and what matters
and
is
carry.
What you impact the most to everyone else around you, right?
For sure.
So I've seen you at the Palestinian rally. I was there and you were the speaker. So you got up, they introduced you. I think at that time you just had your miscarriage as well. So, but still you just got up and you're like, yeah, I'm here. I want to rally behind this. And you got up and suddenly you were switched on and you just like spoke. And we were all like this, like, Wow, you know, and you had no notes. I have notes here, but you had
No,
no notes.
honestly,
How do you do it?
so that this is the thing, right? It's important to practice. Like,
Okay.
even for me, some speeches end well, some speeches didn't end too well.
Really?
Of course, for
Bad
sure.
days,
I have had bad
bad
days.
speech day.
Yeah, I remember I always thought about this, that one of the first few speeches I gave in Terengganu. This is back in 99. And I was very nervous. It's a huge crowd. And the name of the pantai is Pantai Batu Buruk.
Pantai Batu Buruk,
Yeah,
okay.
nama dia lah, kan? And of course, I got up and I was like, I'm so proud and happy to be here in this Pantai Buruk, you know? It's like, okay, that's not really. So I think it happens to everyone, and it's important to practice.
Oh
And
my
it's
gosh.
okay to bring notes. Honestly, like the last rally dekat Axiata, Dato' Sri Mat Sabu, I gotta say, he gave possibly one of the best speeches, right? Because he was referring to his notes. So it's completely fine. Honestly, it's just that sometimes we make so much out of it. I mean, at the WEF, I was referring to my notes. So it just, before the rally, I wanted to, of course, bring back to the Nakba and the strategic action that we can take next. But anyway, yeah,
Wow.
thanks. It was so
So,
nice to see you as well. I was so happy.
spoken to a lot of the community that DUP has, right? It's a lot of women who are rising in their career. They all want to emerge as leaders and they're becoming leaders or already leaders. So the thing with leadership is that people always associate it to
Oh, yeah.
extrovertness, right? You
Yes.
have to speak, you have to stand, you have to rally the team, motivate.
Yeah.
So now I'm quite intrigued because you say you're an introvert. So how do you become an
Maybe mix
introvert
like it.
leader?
Maybe mix, I guess.
Okay.
My husband's an introvert. I think the issue is everyone's a mix. It's just celebrating who you are, right? And much is made on your public persona. And of course, we do need to push ourselves, right? Because I keep saying sometimes you have a really good content, but you don't articulate it well, right? And then you lose out. So it is important to benchmark yourself with good speakers and so on and so forth. But by the same token, I think it's just to also appreciate that people are different. We're all on a spectrum. And I think that's the degree of inclusivity you have to place in being kind to yourself, lah, you know.
Don't
Sometimes,
be too hard on yourself if
of course, you want to be the best. It's like a balance, but you don't want to be self-punishing either.
So do you, when you get nervous, are there anything, any tips that you tell yourself?
So I love the fact that it's, of course, start with du'a, zikir, but also important to remind yourself, like, what are the key points? Why am I doing this? And imbue your mind with this with positive self-talk. And it's important because sometimes, you know, we are our own worst enemy,
Oh yeah, we're
right? We're
our
like,
worst critic.
what the heck were you thinking, right? So,
Semua
no, calm down, chill, bro.
tak
I understand, but we'll have that conversation later.
betul.
Now I gotta just, you know, do my bit. And of course, sometimes in life, you also, I like to make sure that we're encouraging others as well. So sometimes when you say you're bigger than you know, the message or the mission is bigger than who you are, so it means that you're also making sure you land or you place your mark, because that, inshallah, will encourage others. That will help open the door or the way for others who might remain voiceless. So it's important to understand and value that kind of placement, that opportunity, because not everyone gets it.
So now you're part of the management that basically runs a company. You're like, part of the CEO's office, right? Give us an insight, like how difficult is that? I cannot imagine leading a team of like, a few hundred
Yeah.
people is already tough. How do you lead a company of 30 something million people?
Well, so I've worn many hats. I was a member of parliament for 3 terms. Alhamdulillah, it was such a great honor, honestly, for so many people to place their trust in you as a representative, right? And of course, then I helped with Tan Sri Hassan, who is one of the corporate leaders who are very well respected in Malaysia and is the advisor to PETRONAS. I think what I we actually kind of our work culminated in a series of recommendations that we've given to the second finance minister. So right now my focus is smaller, more another
I love
hat
it.
to,
Wow.
you know, with SERI, the social research initiative. So talking about socioeconomic and basically addressing the different needs of different stakeholders. But it's like a nice kind of segue if you can see. And it's a bit, you know, you mentioned that Tun Anwar Ibrahim, when he became prime minister, I did not kind of envision that this day would come. So
wow.
It's a bit,
you're still trying to adjust to this.
Like, oh yeah, yeah. Because it's been very different when I was also a member of parliament, you know. And then there was a clear set. I had my own office. We kind of had to run a whole constituency. We had to run projects,
yeah.
Even though we were devoid of allocation. So it was kind of different. So for me, I rely a lot on our MDs, Rashad Ali. Actually, I first met him when he was 16.
Wow.
So he would have liked this. But, you know, his whole family.
I hope he watches this.
I am so sorry, Rashad. And of course, we are also helped by Dr. Yolanda, Dr. Helmi. So it's a good team. And I feel that it's nice to also not just kind of become the chairperson, but also learn from them. Because we're talking about different generations.
Mm-mm.
And the strength of any organization is how much you leverage and how much you utilize the strengths of each generation.
Okay.
Including boomers. Yes. We have, you know, but the point is, it's about making sure you know how to place different people in different places. So
the team should be diversified lah, and like different.
We got to try. And at least the policy can. But of course, we can't cater to everyone, but the effort and the intention should be there. So you should be telling me, you run a bigger organization in that sense, right? So
I'll tell you later. Okay. Another conversation.
Okay.
Okay, so just to give us some clarity, what is your actual position now and what does that represent?
Yeah, so I've finished with the secretariat,
okay.
The assistant Sri Hassan Marikan. And now I'm a chairperson of the Socioeconomic Research Initiative, SERI.
Wow.
And I am also the advisor to Mahar, which is a charity that's helping refugees here and there. And I'm a political activist. So I think I'm still busy for some reason.
Wonder why.
Sometimes my kids like, Mama, you're no longer a member of parliament. Maybe you should be less
be here
busy.
At home.
No, when they're teenagers, they're more like, yeah, they're more friendly
chill.
And stuff, but they're more chill. But they're like, because I always ask them like every minuscule moment and minute of their life's details. So maybe they're like, you don't have to be here all the time.
Go to the office.
Yeah.
Okay, so when you were announced as the senior advisor to PM, I think there was a lot of backlash. So if you don't mind me asking you this, I hope you don't get offended. But how do you then respond to the comments about you being a nepo baby? You know.
For me, it really began with this intention to assist.
Mm.
I did not, you know, secure my seat in the last elections. So I wanted to really assist the government, especially when I'm with the party, the People's Justice Party, in its early inception. And we basically kind of helped carry the mission forward, right? When Dr. Sri Anwar Ibrahim was imprisoned. Nonetheless, I had a good meeting with the Transparency International of Malaysia chapter. And we discussed, you know, what were the best ways to help. And I'm really happy that Nur Hisham Hussein, who is the former CSO for EPF and chief economist, is now the senior advisor to the Prime Minister's office.
Okay.
So for me, what was important, the opportunity, we hit hand the best talents. You had, you know, leaders from PNB, from Petronas, from also Bank Negara Malaysia helming and supporting the Prime Minister's office. But, you know, it really started out to, you know, in a way to assist. So for me, you know, I'm cognizant, I understand. You also have faced your share of criticisms.
Sure.
And I think what we can do is try to figure out, okay, what's the best way for us to manage our own responsibilities, but also addressing people's concerns. But you can't also be tied to public opinion.
You
must also understand there's a clear-cut sort of, you know, the ethical lines. That should be your main guidance lah. So I'm very happy for TI Malaysia, because at least Dr. Mohan helped, you know, navigate that process for me. And you know, this is where it's been at. It was not an easy period, but alhamdulillah, you know, I think we also need to be in society like Malaysia. It's very diverse. We are multiracial. A lot more patience, a lot more also perhaps, I think Sheikh Omar Sulaiman, was it Omar Sulaiman or Yasir Qadi? I can't remember. It was, no, Imam Deep. Imam Deep. It was a reminder that, you know, with the whole controversy erupting from the Olympics, the Algerian boxer, right, Iman Khalif. I think the reminder was, when we hear something, when we read something, it is always important to perhaps take a step back and just kind of ruminate a little bit before we pass judgment. And I think that in the age of social media, in the age where everyone has an opinion, it is challenging. But inshallah, you know, what we can begin with what we do ourselves.
Yes, so you have been a public figure all your life. Some are politics.
Yeah.
So it looks scary from the outside, looking inwards, right? So how do you deal with the backlash, negativity, criticism? You're human. So yes, the philosophy is there, and we can read as many quotes as we want to make ourselves feel better. But is there some practical things that you do? Like, you cry out to your loved ones, or you go for therapy? Like, what is there something you do?
So I think the issue is also about recognizing the challenges in the world as we know it. Back in the, you know, in the day where you talk about the Prophet's time, peace be upon him, there's the Khawarij, right? Why I mentioned the Khawarij, because I'm also cognizant of the fact that sometimes in articulation, there are going to be others who are far more effective.
Okay.
But not necessarily bringing the right message. So that is a challenge, whether it's in politics, whether it's showbiz. It's always making sure, oh my goodness, how do I not get misunderstood, sorry, right? And I think for me, I still view politics as, you know, it can be scary. It is very important to understand and take necessary steps. And you do need a healthy dose of political guile, right? You need to have, in a say, political nous, also political maturity, and also the ways and the knowledge to navigate it effectively. And I don't do it well, of course, all the time. I think the issue is I'm a prefect, I'm pengawas.
We know.
Pengakap. So, you know, sometimes we're a bit like, you know, it's like on the straight path. But it's important to also be able to kind of be strategic. And I think, in this sense, is a lot to learn.
Yeah.
It's a lot to learn. We're always learning. But I feel how I kind of iron it out, I've actually started taking Jodo lessons. Jodo is under...
God, I thought you said Jodo.
No.
We're done with that.
We are done with that. Although psychological lessons are always helpful until the end of your days.
What is Jodo?
So Jodo is under Kendo, but it's a more, I think, a form of martial arts that's being practiced by the Japanese reserve unit. Okay. It's their anti-riot unit. So my husband, you know, he practices Jodo, he teaches it, and I'm like, oh, whatever lah, I have to exorcise this anger. So I think, yeah, my sister Ilham, she takes Taekwondo.
Okay.
She's like, Kaisa, I just got back from Taekwondo. You know, I'm like, okay, Ilham, I'm really happy for you. So I think...
So that's the way you release the stress lah.
But it's not just that. I mean, look at what's happening around us. I feel that we kind of, as women, as leaders, as mothers, as sisters, we need to also, you know, have a degree of you know, how do you have that inbuilt, not just inner strength, but also ensure that you kind of take better care of yourself.
Okay, I'm going to start. Okay.
No, it doesn't have to be that. Like, give me yoga.
My kids say jiu-jitsu.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. I went to capoeira before.
No.
Capoeira, yeah, it's Brazilian. So Initially, they had to guise the martial arts into a dance because the colonizers did not allow them to. Yeah, so it's quite interesting. But he did it for 3 years. Yeah, now he takes drums. But my point is, yes, I think it's important to have a healthy lifestyle. I was really impressed with Sheikh Dato' Hussein Yee because he had that run, the valor run, where he's like, you know, being Islamic is making sure you are
healthy,
at your
active,
best, your best physical self, and you know,
less of this, less teh tarik.
But yes.
Okay, you mentioned Ilham, right? So I was in
Ilham sangat garang. You think I'm garang? Well,
wait till you meet her sister. Yeah. So I mean, she and I were in the same year. We're friends. So when your dad was announced in charge, it was very raw for all of us because she came to school the next day and we all did not know what to say, what to do. So I remember we were all at a bridge at the corridor. In school, in SKBD, and we were all around her, and we just hugged her because we don't know
really
what to say.
Sweet.
Teachers also came.
That's really sweet. Yeah.
I was
that's
too young really to sweet. Understand the complexity of it and the depth of what was happening, but I can't imagine like what you guys went through as sisters, as young people, because this is happening to you, but you yourself, you're figuring out who you are as a teen, teenage problems already, the hormones, and also. How did you face it when you yourself were trying to find yourself?
I think it was hardest for Ilham because she got left behind. You know, that night when the police raided the home, Noha Esal managed to come in. We were all grouped into the van, but Ilham got left behind.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So my uncle, Arwah Uncle Rusli, he carried her because she was so scared. She was crying with Iman and Hana, but the rest came down. And, you know, this like policemen with machine guns. And I think she was alone, just scared. So my uncle brought her, you know, caught her in time, ran. You know, Bukit Damansara did that, upper roundabout.
Yeah.
But he couldn't meet us in time. So I think that always, you know, was very hard, right? Because in a way, that separation. But again, alhamdulillah, you know, she's such a strong character.
Yeah.
She's and I think for me, it was just natural. My dad, I don't know if you know how my dad is. My dad's like troops. So my dad's like that. So it was just like, I think that's why the book by Allahyarham Sheikh Yusof Qardawi is important, because there is going to be a point in your life, and you see this in the conflicts that are taking place, where Fardu Ain fuses with Fardu Kifaya. So we each say, for as long as enough people, you don't have to partake in that responsibility,
okay.
Right? But sometimes you just gotta do it. So I think it was challenging. It felt very lonely. But
I had, you had each other. But
yeah, I think more of, because they were very, a lot younger.
Yeah.
Noha was about 4 years younger. But, you know, I think my mom also, she's like,
she
never complained.
She's
ever.
A champ.
You know, our mothers kan. Jadi, apapun, alhamdulillah, I think the way I handled it, close circle. My mom, she was very instructive.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of follow how your parents were. I had a best friend. Well, I have a best friend. She was also, you know, she was in the UK, so she called me, you know, once a week. At the time, tak ada WhatsApp, eh?
Macik-macik,
tak ada WhatsApp, eh?
Okay.
Tak ada WhatsApp. So, you must imagine, kan? Nak, bukannya senang. So, I think...
Kena cari payphone.
Yeah, zaman-zaman payphone. Astaghfirullahaladzim. But yeah, technology.
I was in boarding school. I know. Like, I had to borrow coins.
You went to boarding school?
333.
Kesiannya.
But I lasted 1 year je.
Yelah, memang lah.
Yeah, I escaped.
Tolong ya, warga-warga yang duduk di boarding school, janganlah judge kami. Kami budak SKBD. Yeah, I mean... To be fair, I have a lot of respect for boarding school. My housemate, she went to apa tu TKC.
Oh,
so
right.
So budak-budak, janganlah. Kita kena jangan macam tu. Jangan jadi MCKK.
Okay.
Kita kena
we'll
meraihkan.
Yeah, yeah.
Jangan macam tu.
Baiklah Kak Iza,
yeah.
Yes. See?
Like, kita meraihkan semua. Sekolah Asunta ke, kan Sri Putri ke, TKC. We need that in Malaysia. Honestly, we need to like rally for each other. And I feel like it's you know, boarding school, of course, but we need to kind of break the silos. And that's what I try to do my team, actually. I have local university grads, I have overseas grads, and I see that everyone would have their strengths.
Baru and we complement boleh, each other.
Yeah, we have to, because at the end of the day, you know, you kind of like got to fight this challenge and face this, you know, this new world, which is quite unfair, and the hegemons out there together. So I think that's the spirit you want to kind of
build
in.
Okay,
learn from
CKK. Can we try? Yes, we
learn not to do what they have done.
Okay. Saya tak ada kena mengapa. Saya tak buat apa-apa. Saya tak bersalah.
Okay.
So it's very interesting to me that you lead such a public life, whether you want it or not. But personally, you're very private tau. People don't really know, like, you know, who you marry ke or your
children.
Cakap
Facebook kot.
Yeah, but not,
nak
I mean,
lagi.
It's very surface level lah. So, is it on purpose that you keep your personal life? Do you think you're not private?
I think because I went through a lot. Yeah. I mean, no lah, not astaghfirullahaladzim, no lah. I mean, I'm just saying,
You can recognize that. You did
go through a lot. Because I had a divorce, you know, and it was very public. Mm. And it's just, I just want to make sure that in this dunya, right? It is. I was very taken in what Sheikh Omar says, you know, in terms of the dangers of social media, and the fact that we're living lives, and you don't want to think that someone else's life is a lot better or a lot worse. And a lot of experiences should remain private. Not all, but I think it's important so that you kind of appreciate that this moment is between me and my maker, for example. So it's something not easy for me to kind of manage. Mm-hmm. But inshallah, that's why I keep a lot of things. And honestly, what the Palestinians have gone through, it was so hard after, you know, I mean, even before that they were suffering, but after October 7, and the way the world, right, the extent of which we need to kind of rework it to make it fairer, it hit me bad, lah.
Yeah.
It hit me bad.
Hit all of us.
Yeah. Yeah,
even
exactly.
I was very unsure. I'm like, I have a collection launching, but I feel inside I'm just like so sad and so affected that it's almost like that doesn't matter right now. But it does. It's my
Kita,
work.
Yeah,
right? But
like Sheikh Omar says, you know, so you do the best you can because you are given the opportunity, and of course it means also you're trying to work towards a better future. Mm. So it doesn't discount the fact that, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives and He takes and in the best way possible and with all its hikmah. So for me, it's also trying to, yeah, I try to keep certain things private lah.
Yeah.
The short end of it.
Do you
if
think
you
people
want to edit
nowadays,
this and get a short answer. Sorry, it's like punch on you. You know, kan,
all
banyak you cakap.
Basically.
Yeah, you have to, yeah. Okay. I give you the long vision, I give you short vision. Okay. Sorry.
Do you think people, is a dangerous thing that people share too much about their lives?
Absolutely. You should watch the documentary, The Social Dilemma.
I made
my kids watch it. My teens lah, Yujo belum tengok. I was like, because the ability, right? You watched it to influence and your psychology, your psychological kind of framework is not made up to face the onslaught of technology.
Mm.
So it is a huge affront if you're not careful.
Yeah. I think as I age, then I start seeing the importance of like some privacy. So lepas ni Vivi, you're so private.
Janganlah. Semua orang akan kecam I.
Okay.
No, but I think to be fair, some of your sharing, it's very heartfelt. So, you know, for me, we learn and we all know that all that glitters, you know, is gold. It's not going to be like that. Everyone is given their set of challenges and that is how it is, right?
Yeah.
And you can't just assume that another life is better. But social media brings it to the fore.
Mm.
That you just, you know, it's just within your grasp, but it isn't. So that's, I think, that's
you
danger.
You can't control it. It's dangerous.
No.
Yep. Okay. More fun stuff. You are very strong. I've seen you on stage. You're like a fighter when you bahas, when you give your speech, and when you fight in parliament as well. So are you the same as a wife?
So, yeah, it's funny you say that because I attended It was a debate organized by Perdana Fellows, okay, alumni, and it was a debate on CBAM. And so my husband was debating the EU ambassador, Yeah, let's just say it was quite a feisty debate. So my friend who was there, and then, you know, of course as a wife, I mean, I was not just as a wife, as a person who appreciates his work, I was there to support. And so the person beside me was like, oh, I didn't realize he was quite the scary and debater. So I think I've been, you know, he is a really a better debater than I am.
Really?
Actually, I have to say.
Wow.
He has been able to articulate some of the positions based on evidence. So I think it's good that, you know, I learn a lot as well from my interactions with him. But I think as in a relationship, it's important. We are a blended family.
Yeah.
And you do need a healthy dose of psychological, I mean, lessons, patience.
Simulation.
But just to understand where it is, right? Because you're talking about the psychology of the teens as they have a stepfather. And then, you know, it's like a, you know, a remarriage for me. And that's why, I mean, we knew each other for a decade.
Okay.
We, you know, gaduh, segala-gala lah kan. Semua ups and downs. So I think it's good that we came together as good friends. First as best friends. And then, of course...
the love developed.
Yeah, but it's more, how do I say this? I think that's the hardest bit lah too, because you have to be, you know, really, when you're in politics, especially when contesting elections, it can be very, very grilling. It, you know, very truly, it's a competition, right? You're in combat in a way.
Yeah.
And try not to bring that home.
Oh, how?
Well, it takes a lot of practice.
In the car, on the way home, you're like, okay. Gotta watch some comedy.
Okay, sometimes I do listen to Rage Against the Machine. Sometimes. But my point is, kena practice lah. And also, you need to know, like, is it fair?
So, I want to ask you about remarriage and divorce. You know, I think it's... I don't know, as a society, we don't...
Oprah pula.
Alah, kasih lah chance. I don't get you often.
Okay.
So, it... Because our society is almost a taboo to talk about it. My sister's your age. She went through two marriages and divorced twice as well. So it's painful and you just don't know who to talk to. And it's almost like you're also scared what society thinks of you. And I think it should be openly not talked about at least or normalized, right? So I know, I'm sure it was tough seeing my sister go through it as well. And there are a lot of parties involved. There's in-laws, there's your own kids, there's new in-laws, new possibly step kids, right? Any advice you have for women who are going through that?
You know, Sheikh Omar Sulaiman gave this talk so beautiful about Sayyidina Khadija, radiallahu anhu, the Prophet's wife, right? And it was so beautiful because to showcase how successful she was, that she was married before the Prophet, and that clearly she got divorced. And I thought that there are so many lessons that we have in our seerah, and there's so many lessons that we forget as Muslims, that we firstly should be less judgmental, because Allah will test us differently.
Yeah.
And you don't know when your turn comes.
Yeah.
Right, and you just pray, please, when my turn comes, please let me be able to at least overcome it. And that's why for me, we just need to be more compassionate to other people. And I feel this most strongly, because a divorce is like a brain surgery, in a way, because you literally need to delete the memories.
Oh, okay.
Of course, right? Because to come to that level, you've built a life with someone, right? You've had children with them.
Yep.
And I have to say that we went for a few sessions, like trying to understand the psychology and also giving the space to our children, because, you know, their father, I say, will always be your father. You know, you're not going to displace that. So it's very important. But by the same token, you want to have respect, right, for the person I married. So it all will take some time, but it also is important for us to apply some degree of empathy to the children affected, to the in-laws. I mean, we all made sure when my former father-in-law passed away, we all were there. You know, I think it was important that we have that connection, and that you might not be married to each other anymore, but respect, you dignify your experience. And of course, we hope that there's no trauma, because there are marriages out there with severe physical trauma, and I don't discount that at all. Just saying, for the people that need to be in the family unit, it is important for society to be more open and compassionate, because we're building a stronger Malaysia. It begins with the different family units, different neighboring communities, and so on and so forth. So I don't know, I feel that there's so much I've learned. I wish it wasn't so public. It was a lot better for male politicians, I felt, than female ones. I felt there was a lot of scrutiny, and there was an expectation that I had to be the perfect person. I had to be the perfect wife. I had to have the perfect family. I had to be the perfect everything. And I'm not. I mean, and at the end of the day,
no one is.
No one is. And it's a lot of pressure, I have to say. And I think that's why, you know, as I get older, of course, you learn a lot more. Mm. But I also hope that we can support each other, especially women. Because women, your experiences will be similar, right? And it saddens me about this issue of, you know, marriage breakups for a third party. And I hope that, you know, we are shielded and we are just being mindful.
Yeah.
And it begins with ourselves, actually. So I really also want to say that one of the things that I was told is the fear of being alone. And I think you shouldn't be with someone because you're scared of being alone. Mm. Because it's important to remember the pandemic, if there's one thing they taught us, is the difference between being lonely and appreciating solitude.
Okay.
So I felt that then, you know, you're a better, a stronger person to share or be with in a relationship with someone else. Mm-hmm. And solitude is it can be beautiful, right? And it's important to be kind of calm, at ease with the thoughts in your mind, with the voices in your head.
Be comfortable with yourself.
Yeah, because this voice, so you have to regulate this voice. It's like, come on, man, don't scold me today.
Not today.
You have to chill a bit. But it's important to moderate and understand, because then it's a good reminder to do better, but it is not something that kind of strangulates you, right? Emasculates you. You don't want that either.
Yeah.
So I think this whole thing, and I pray for the children's father. I hope that for all of us to be given happiness, not just in this life, this short life and on earth, but also the hereafter. But yes, I hope everybody out there can do their part to just elevate a little bit, because who knows, when you're smiling or you're kinder, and maybe you don't use certain words to describe women who are divorced or men who are divorced, then it will help bring about a better outcome.
Thank you for that. I think that's a wonderful thing for women to hear, and a reminder for us to be kind to each other, right? So I'm sure during this time, your kids were your pillars of strength and source of happiness, hopefully. How are they like with you? How are you as a mom?
So I think they probably think I am a very persistent mom.
Naggy?
I would call it persistent reminders that are useful for them as they grow up and grow older. Because I love them.
Yes, mom.
Yes. And then I think Safia, you know, she said I was supportive. And I mean, I can be very excited. She says that I'm being bubbly, but she's not baik lah tu kan. But the point is,
bubbly is a nice word.
I just want to make sure that, you know, like, I feel quite excited about moments, right? Life is made up of moments. And sometimes we have to savor the good moments, right? And remember the good moments when the moments are challenging. Yeah, so itu je lah.
When you were working, okay, you're a working mom, obviously. So, did you have any mom guilt? Did you wish?
Oh,
you
always. Okay. Oh my God.
So normal then.
I had to contest masa Safia was just baru lahir. It was terrible. Oh. Macam, because, you know, it was lembah pantai, and then I just gave birth, And then the party decided I have to take over Lembah Pantai. I'm like, yeah,
Oh
campaign
dear.
and clearly tak boleh menang lah kan. And I was still breastfeeding Safia. So I was, 4 in the morning, the campaign manager, you have to come down now because this kawasan is, very risky. Right now, stat. I'm like, okay. So I had to bring her in the car and
Right
like,
now,
so kena sampai pukul 6:30 lah
ayo.
kan, pasar. So critical kawasan. But anyway, that's how you want to win lah. You got to do that.
Doctor
And
on standby, like all the
a
time.
bit, a bit. But I have to say, I felt really guilty. And then I realized, okay, let's try to be fair. Fair to kids. Be present when you can. So I didn't miss a single event when they were in school. Alhamdulillah.
Wow.
And then, I have to also be present, jaga kawasan, kan? Because people voted for you, so you try your best. So I just try to weigh equally. Of course, sometimes there will be complaints, right? But you just try to be fair. I think fairness, one thing, and also being present. Because we're always on our devices, right? There's always going to be that message and that call. So being able to put aside that phone is also important.
Oh my God, I'm learning that. I'm like, okay, no phone,
Sama,
sweetie. Just
yeah.
put the phone away. Because even if you're like, okay, I won't pick it up, but it's in front of you, tau. So
Of
you're like,
course, of course. Is that designed
Oh gosh, yeah.
to trigger your interest in that way? Yeah, and we have that box. I told them to put the devices in the box. Let's see if
Oh no,
I
you have a box. Okay,
let's see if I
I'll put a
succeed
box.
tonight. No, just making sure today I wear. Social dilemma. No, we have
Yeah.
to understand.
Okay, shifting gears a bit, I want to ask you about the country, right? If you only had enough money to reform one thing in our country, which area would be your priority?
I think we'll start with the education now.
Okay, I love that you said that. Thank you.
Yeah,
Okay.
education sector, education system. It is not easy. It's very challenging, and I actually wanted to give a shout out to Shahnaz, who's the LEAP@ CEO. She instituted the trust school system. Of course, powered by local teachers, powered by school teachers, powered by cikgu sekolah. And you had these trust schools, and I visited one in Tapah where the Orang Asli children were able to speak English. They were able to, set up their own local projects. So I think you really need to invest heavily in education. But it's not just the infra per se, right? But it's also kind of the input you bring in. Take into account, for example, you want to build a group or generation of economists that care about inequality. So again, the input you bring in that care about leveling up the global south and global north. So I think it starts with education, but you also have to have the know-how, the strategic deployment,
With the
the
knowledge.
ability to create innovative entrepreneurs, to have the linkage from universities. I just shared it with Tan Sri Nur Azlan between universities and industry. And that's why for me, it's instructive to see how universities in South Korea, in China even, they make sure all the output is in terms of patents that can be utilized for industries,
Really?
next technological
Wow. From
climb
school,
up.
they make it, they.
From school and then of course universities. But the point is that that kind of spirit. So yes, that's one thing we all have to work hard on.
Yeah. So when you mentioned entrepreneurs, so that's very close to my heart. I find that it's so rare to find a Malaysian global brand. I've been in this industry for 15 years now, and I don't know any fashion brand that really made it big Malaysian globally. And I wonder why. I mean, we have big stars and people we're proud of, like Tan Sri Michelle Yeoh, Yoona, Jimmy Choo, but they all left the country to make it big there. Is that what it takes for me to leave the country and like set up shop somewhere for me to become a global brand? I mean, that's why do you think it's such that we just don't have what it takes?
I remember P. Ramlee,
Oh,
right?
okay, yeah.
And I remember how difficult it was for him when he was alive. I mean, we all sing his songs. We all know how brilliant and how much of a genius he is. But it
He's a legend.
was a tough life that he led. I think, remember my father invited him to university. And at the time, he was seen as anti-government. So I feel maybe we should be helping in building an ecosystem that kind of helps them to go to the next level. I remember there were a few Malaysian brands. This was when YB Bhatia was Deputy Minister of Tourism, when we met, and they were saying, you know, the importance of kind of support when it is on the international arena, whether it's international exhibition or whether it's an international department store. Once they get chosen, it is that level of support that is needed. And again, this is just one example. I'm not an expert in this, but I feel that maybe it's a good time to reflect deeply how we do this, because you know, you want to be making sure that whatever kind of level of support is done in a strategic manner to bring them into a globally known brand. So, you know, of course, I value your input as well, but I think it's an issue, and I hope that we can celebrate them, you know, when they're alive. And of course, you know, he's a global name, I think. So it's just, yeah, lessons to be kind of learned and unlearned in some ways.
Yeah, I mean, we hope to be a global brand one day, so make dua for us.
Inshallah. But the ecosystem as well, right? Because I think from the bootstrap days to Series A, B, and eventually maybe IPO, the point is, of course, financially you can't plug in, but you have to be able to know, right, where the gaps are.
Yeah, and where you need support the most. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, since this is a Merdeka Edition podcast, what are your hopes for Malaysia?
You know, for our country, it's so important because we are at the precipice of change that's not just taking place, you know, between nations. We're going to chair ASEAN next year, but you're also looking at how a single hegemony doesn't really help bring the world into a more safer, fairer place. So I'm actually expecting Malaysia to kind of rise up, but also in terms of how its peoples come together, right? Maybe we have to take a deep look at as to why we have different approaches when it comes to how we look at refugees internally versus externally. So it's important to ask these tough questions, but also in a way that celebrates our strengths, that remains inclusive. Because at the end of the day, I think we have a lot to celebrate. So it's always important, again, to have that healthy dose of self-improvement, but not to the point that it becomes something that is affecting our progress. So I have a lot to look forward to. I think, alhamdulillah, at least we're picking up internationally. But domestically, with the reforms that has to take place, it will be painful. So we do need to kind of lend support and perhaps a healthy dose of empathy. Because we are asking people to do difficult things. First, you have to lead by example. And number two, you also have to do it in a way that's holding each other's hands and also making sure that you don't leave anyone behind. And that's a big challenge.
Okay, all right. Okay, so I have rapid fire questions for you.
Alamak,
Sikit lagi, but these
ada
are
lagi.
fun ones.
This is like worse than apa dipanggil? Hot talk way.
Okay, easy ones. You're gonna love this one. Shawl or square? So obvious.
Sorry lah. Yeah, you know me,
So
right?
hardly see you in a shawl ever.
I mean, I am wearing a shawl. It's really pretty. I really like it.
Thank
So
you.
I might wear it like on top of an inner that is plain. Yeah, but
Okay.
yeah.
Okay, city life or countryside?
I think it has to be a mix
Okay.
because if it's too intense, I have to go to the countryside.
Okay. Romantic guy or macho guy?
Come on lah, there's toxic masculinity. People, we don't talk about macho anymore.
Balance.
Romance lah, romance lah, kot. Romance lah, kot. Masculine too for what? To touch your muscles ke? Sorry, astaghfirullahalazim.
You
Did
like
I
it
just
when
say
you
that?
have a strong debater, okay? Silliest nickname you've had.
I cannot tell you lah.
Why?
Okay, I think the silliest. I can't tell
Okay, can okay,
you.
fine. Okay, see,
Well, actually, to be
privacy.
fair, to be well, in Asunta, if any Asuntarian would know this, Okay. Yeah, but I cannot say now.
Okay, we'll find out. You know, we'll ask in the comments.
Asuntarian, you know. Okay, depends which Asuntarian you ask. Sorry.
Okay.
They bullied me a lot in Asunta, but I became friends with them lepas tu.
Now.
They used to call me, yeah. But now I dah kawan. Give me a year, inshallah. Okay. Yeah.
One food for the rest of your life.
Nasi lemak kot.
Okay.
Yeah.
Your definition of the perfect date night.
Sorry.
Why is that funny? I don't get it.
I think my husband's gonna kill me. It's like, can we please just macam you masak pasta and then we watch Dexter? Sorry.
Okay. So home lah. That's how
he'll be like, oh my god, not Dexter again. Sorry.
Dexter, really?
I just when I am free lah.
Okay. A
long time ago, yeah.
Son or daughter?
Oh, cannot.
Just
cannot. Even psychologically, cannot.
Oh.
Yeah, cannot. You cannot. You will always have kan macam, okay, you like her for this, you like him for this, but all three are your blessings.
Yes.
And you love them as best as you can and to their knowledge equally.
Okay. Okay.
Pahera. Pahera. Pahera.
Pahera. Pahera. Okay, complete this sentence. Last one. When Safia has a boyfriend, I will...
Astaghfirullahaladzim! I will go berserk! Oh, listen to me! You listen to me here!
Sorry. Safia, blink twice if you need help.
Kita boleh buat kursus dulu. Janganlah!
Okay.
Go berserk.
These are very naughty questions, sorry. Okay, to close now. You are 43 now?
Yes.
Okay. Are there any goals or bucket list
items? Banyak doh.
Satu lah, give us one. Not Nur Izzah the politician, Nur Izzah the person. What does she want to do?
So, actually, we had Sheikh Muhammad Al-Sharif, Allah Yarham. He was the a kind of a coach for all of us. He set up Al-Maghribi, Al-Maghrib Institute. So he always says, elevate your dua. So I wanted, you know, for the Multidimensional Poverty Index to be a successful study. At the time, belum sempat lagi. Mm. I wanted to implement the study with Prof. Fatimah Khairi, and I wanted to be a study that would be recognized so that, inshallah, it will impact through the different changes we'll make in policy. So, alhamdulillah, I was invited by the World Economic Forum to present it at Dalian, and we didn't realize because it was set up with the OFI, the Oxford Poverty Institute, kan? And basically, during COVID, all the countries that had the Multidimensional Poverty Index, no one could catch COVID-related or COVID-adjusted Multidimensional Poverty Index except for Perumahan Tanpao, because people couldn't go in and interview. So that study was very important, so that you at least knew, had a glimpse in some dimensions over what COVID did to change or impact us. So this type of deprivations for me is important in policy making. But for the next bucket list, I would really like to impact policy as well in terms of how we broaden the horizon a little bit through our inclusive engagement with people who remain stateless.
Oh.
Yeah, not easy, but I think as you see what's happening in the UK, etc., it's quite scary how racial divisions can truly destroy the fabric of society. So that's why we have to remain vigilant and empathetic.
Okay. Here I thought she was going to say bungee jumping.
Sorry. I did bungee jumping when I was 15.
Oh.
Yeah.
So that's already crossed already.
Okay. Sorry. Okay. Ada lah. I really want to make sure I master jodoh lah.
Okay.
Properly, because it's very difficult, but I like it because it really is a type of psychological aggression. So you kind of use the staff, the wooden staff, and you direct it at your opponent's uto.
Oh, kat sini?
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's not to hit it per se, but it's just to show that.
Target.
So you start first with showing, you know, your warning. And I think it's important because in life, you're not striking first. You're giving that, hey, I'm giving you that warning, so you behave.
Mm-mm.
So I thought that was probably my bucket list, to just master that move, which takes many years to do.
All right.
In my limited time.
Okay, I'm looking forward to that. Maybe you can teach us then next time.
Apa benda ni? Merdeka, we kena ajar orang lah.
Okay, well,
yeah. Sorry, it's a bit serious. I mean, I'm sorry, I'm a bit serious. I was told by my team, jangan serious sangat.
No lah, no, we had a lot of laugh. It was fun. Okay,
I'm a bit serious.
Thank you so much for sharing.
Thanks.
I think we're all very proud of you, and we're all making doa that you're always protected and
sama-sama.
All your wishes come true, inshallah.
Yeah.
So and thank you so much
for
being here.
You know, personal challenges, subhanAllah. May Allah help us all, you know, do good so that other people can also be elevated to do their part.
Amin. So thank you. Thank you, YB
thank
Nurul
you.
Izzah for being here.
Oh, please call me Kak Izzah. Mengada-ngada sangat lah dia.
Okay, bye.
Okay, bye. See you later. Okay.